I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Buffalo Sabres GM Jason Botterill joins Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. And by Fallsview Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada.
Happy Thanksgiving from us here at WGR and 716. Mike Shope and the Bulldog with Sabres GM Jason Botterill. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you very much.
Your home, I think last year maybe was the same. I don't know, but your home, so maybe you'll get to enjoy tomorrow with family and stuff, right?
A little bit of family, watch a little Bills action. Should be a good day.
What do you think about them right now? Are they're interesting right now, Bills. I don't mean your family. They might be too.
Well, you look at over the next four games, it's certainly going to be a challenge for them, and I think, you know, especially coming off such a short week, traveling down to Dallas will be very interesting for them. And obviously a little drama in Dallas, too, after their tough loss against the Pats. But to me, it's been great. It's been fun watching them continue to improve, especially on offense. And I think they're going to have a great effort tomorrow.
What was playing hockey in Dallas like?
Well,
pretty anonymous?
It was anonymous, but there was an excitement around there. Like, they were passionate. And it was at that time when I played, it was at the old Reunion Arena. And there was just it was played on some excellent teams, obviously, here that were battling for Stanley Cups. And they were exciting. Players like Mike Modano, Zuboff, who just went into the Hall of Fame. They had a great crowd, great atmosphere. And I think that they weren't exactly the most knowledgeable hockey fans at that time, but they were passionate. They wanted to cheer on their team. And I think if you take a step back, players are now coming out of Dallas and stuff. Like, what the Stars did a great job when they moved from Minnesota there is they built up youth hockey. They did a great job with their high school program, the youth program, and they really developed hockey families.
Interesting.
There's a lot going on with your team. There's a lot going on in the league. There's a lot going on with your opponent tonight. So there's a lot to unpack here. I'd like to start here, if we could, with you on the play Dahlin is injured on. You've spent your life in the sport. You came up in the sport when it was a very different game, physically, retribution, things like that. I wonder how you see how it's changed, and as a manager watching your team and seeing no one really take charge of the situation when Dahlin got hit with a cheap shot. How do you balance that? Because I know the game has changed. Mm-hmm. Right? And I like the changes for the most part. But at the same time, there's a frustration when your 19-year-old superstar is laying on the ice bleeding. And you sort of want a little payback. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think, first of all, you're extremely disappointed about the actual action and the fact that one of our top players is down with an injury. I think what Ralph alluded to in his press conference this morning, you look at both what happens to Sabaka and also what happened to Dahlin, it's a situation where there is a little bit of uncertainty right off the bat. I've liked our response when people know what's going on, when people truly understand. You look at the game in Anaheim earlier this year, Victor Olofsson got hit from behind that went into the boards. There was five of our guys in there for the scrum right away. And I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a team toughness element, and you want to make sure that when there's something that everyone sees and everything's on the ice, they're there, and they're battling.
So was it conspicuous that didn't happen either in the moment when the hit was made? I mean, you got a competitive game, 3-2, and you're on the power play. I think anyone can understand not wanting to sacrifice that. Mm-hmm. You might have been expecting another penalty because Dahlin is on his knees bleeding. It didn't come. Later in the game, nothing happened. Is that disappointing at all to you?
No, I think it's the game. And I guess my question to you is, like, so what do you want from the response?
I suppose someone going and challenging Cernak and letting them know that it's not okay that you just elbowed Rasmus Dahlin in the face.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think it's I like where our team's at from a camaraderie standpoint about respecting each other, about protecting each other. I think it's I can't tell you sitting here right now why something didn't happen, but I know that there was certainly concern for Rasmus. There's a lot of respect for Rasmus, and I appreciate where our toughness on our team has been. And I think our guys have protected each other from that standpoint. It's something that we'll continue to look at and we'll continue to work on.
Just as a PS, I guess, I'm thinking of Montour's comment after Eichel's fight, how he was surprised or disappointed. Did he say disappointed? Not, maybe he didn't. He said he was sort of
that the bench didn't noted, really react.
He right. noted that there was like little or no reaction to that on his team. Does that mean anything to you, that comment?
In what regards the comment?
That he felt that the bench didn't react to Eichel's fight. Which game was that?
That was against Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And that's where there should have been. We should have gotten more of a jump off of that, without a doubt. When the guys are stepping up and doing things sort of outside their realm, trying to ignite the team, there needs to be a bigger reaction.
Right. You saw it.
Yeah, it's kind of the point that it's something that Jack's not usually comfortable with. And you saw when Jimmy scored in the Tampa Bay game, the excitement from the bench, the reaction, that's great to see. Mm-hmm. You've seen it when we've done well early in the year on the penalty kill with a block shot type of thing. Like, there's that challenge there. They're bringing something, and that's where, you know, we have to do a better job. And I don't have an answer for you on what happened in the Minnesota game. It wasn't a very good game from our part. If you look back on the last month or so, it was certainly one of the more disappointing games. But and that's where our captain tried to lead us in that result. We should have had a better response following that.
Okay, we've talked about a particular area here for a few minutes. What do you think your team is missing or needs right now? You know. Like, you're in the middle of the standings. It's not like anything's over yet. What does it need that it doesn't have more than anything else, would you say?
Well, right now, I think our special teams is certainly hurting us a ton. You look at the game against Tampa Bay overall, I really liked the way we played. And you can even go further back to the game against Boston. I thought we played extremely well there, too. But special teams is hurting us. And I think at the start of the year, especially our power play, gave us a lift. And when your power play guys aren't clicking, they take that frustration over to even strength and don't have that same confidence in around the net. And you look at the game against Tampa Bay, second period, we have an opportunity. We actually had a good power play, went 2-1, that could have made it 3-1. We don't score. They go on back on the power play and score a goal, make it 2-2. Big momentum change in the game. So I think our power play and our Pelican has to improve on. I think having Zach Bogosian back in the lineup, he's one of our better penalty killers. I think that will certainly help us out. I think having Marcus Johansson come back to help out either the second unit or the first unit just with his own entries will certainly help our group. And that's what, we have to find a better chemistry out there.
How many things schematically can, like, there's only so much room on the ice and so many people. Just how creative can you get about trying to change that up? Because we've all seen, like, the triangle of Dahlin and Jack on his off wing and Victor on his off wing. And, like, that was really clicking when the season began and you guys were cruising at, like, a 45% yep. conversion rate, which is, of course, unrealistic to maintain. But still, it was great. Mm-hmm. And it seems like teams, like, went, oh, yeah, this Olofsson guy can shoot the lights out. Let's try to take that away.
Yep.
So you got to find another way in, really.
No, and I think you look at the players that we have on the unit. They have hockey sense. They have creativity, and they have to just continue to utilize that more. Teams are taking away Olofsson a little bit more. That should leave other guys open for the opportunity. And you look at whether Jack's on it. We all know where Jack likes to be, but he has that versatility. Sam's versatility. To me, he's the new age sort of net front guy, the guy who has the size to, you know, be the screen, but also the hands to make plays in and around the net. We have to utilize those guys more.
Jason, fans are just sort of waiting for a trade here, I think. A lot of fans are. Bulldog and I, if I may, are both kind of shocked maybe that there wasn't something else to come in the summer with all the defensemen you had and this idea of a defenseman for a forward that I'm sure is more, you know, easily said than done. What would it take? Like, what I recognize too that there are not trades in the league, you know? What would it take? I mean, would you need to see a certain more number of games without moving up the standings or a losing streak or just like what? I mean, I think I speak for many, many Sabres fans just wondering what the thing would need to have, what would it need to be to get something like that to occur?
Well, I think we're always looking to improve our team. And people always ask me that question. And look, when I have to have an answer. I have to talk to them about, hey, what discussions we're having going on. Bottom line is I don't feel really comfortable about it until we get a deal done. And there's something there. I'm asked a lot, well, do you feel close on something? It doesn't matter if you're close on something. You get a deal done, then you move on. look, we knew that we were having some injuries. Even right now, we have a player coming back in Zach Bogosian. I think he's done an excellent job through two games. But coming off of major hip surgery, you don't know how he's going to respond. We've had so many questions on our defense over the last couple of years. We wanted to make sure we had some depth there. I've been open. We're looking to help our forward group right now. With injuries that we've sustained, we're trying to find help there. And if something materializes, that we'll certainly jump on it.
Yeah, I don't want to ask you if you're close, because I agree. I sort of feel that way. I understand. And, you know, there's so many, like, Bulldog and I and everybody out here never gets to know what is being talked about. You know, like, sometimes we'll see these little stories on Twitter, like, oh, so-and-so is rumored to be available in a trade, any sport.
Yep.
And, like, well, I think, well, why is that even news? Like, why wouldn't every team be open to trading anybody necessarily? Like, just... You want to be open to ideas,
yep.
Right? So
you want to be open to ideas, and that's certainly where there's general managers in the league that you trust and you communicate with, and you're open to different ideas. And, hey, you may think you're closed on something, then a game happens, and, hey, that team loses two forwards or that team loses two defensemen, and it doesn't materialize. Second part of it right now you're dealing with is on any given day you look at it, you have 12, anywhere from 10 to 12 teams in LTI right now, long-term injury. So there's just not the cap space to make that as flexible. And, hey, we made a trade. I won't tell you which one, but we made a trade in the past year that literally took 14 months to consummate. So we've been talking to the team for over 14 months to finally get something done. And it wasn't the fit until it finally materialized. So, look, we're trying to we see adding more depth at our forward group, adding more to our mix there to either help our offense or help our PK. It would certainly help out our group. And we're continuing to try to find a solution.
Not to get hung up on one word you just said there, but trust. You mentioned trust other GMs. I wonder if you worry that if you are talking to too many people about too many guys, that stuff will get out? That, like, all of a sudden the big name reporters are going to be saying Jason Bottrell is shopping so-and-so.
Well, look, there's always that worry. You always wish that most of your conversations are confidential, and to me that's how you get a deal done eventually, that you're throwing different ideas out that you may not be comfortable with, but you're at least seeing if there's a fit from that standpoint. And I think there's just some general managers you feel a little bit more of a trust from that standpoint, and that's where, as a younger general manager in the league, I'm trying to build those relationships with different guys who have been here a lot longer than myself.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, like, right, everybody's sort of in the same place there, I would think, as the GMs. We don't want, I'm gonna tell you, I have a guy that I'm looking to move, but we're never gonna speak about this again, and, like, we don't want anybody knowing it, that kind of thing. There's certainly a lot to talk about here, and there'd be more, but I want to ask about the thing with Bill Peters, and I think the question being asked in hockey right now is this the beginning of something where people who know and have had experiences over the years are going to feel empowered to speak? That I think is the essence of this, maybe, or where we might be headed. What do you see coming?
Well, I can't predict that. All I can know right now is, in talking with people within the Calgary Flames organization, they're certainly taking it very serious, and I think you're seeing it how with their actions over the last 48 hours. And, you know, as Ralph talked about with her, you know, we don't have the information to know exactly what materialized, but what you have to look internally in your own situation and making sure that we're trying to have an environment where players, there is respect, and players feel open to communicate with myself, with Ralph, and with our staff. And, hey, we're not going to sit on a pedestal saying, oh, we're perfect by any means, but that's what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to make sure that you're in an environment where people understand that as a coach you're going to challenge players at certain times and try to get the most out of players. But also in an environment where the players feel very comfortable talking to the management staff and the coaching staff.
I think if I asked you, or maybe anybody who's been in the game for as long, Jason, is it a lot different now coaching than it used to be, or playing for a coach than it used to be? I would think they would almost all laugh, like, of course it's different. I mean, things that might have seemed just like this is motivation now might border on abuse. And you would have had, you've had that life.
And look, the stakes are so much higher now. You look at the salaries, what's happened in the last decade to two decades, there's a lot riding on players becoming National Hockey League players and having successful careers. You're also looking at every player that seems to come in, they have their own group, they're their own team. You know, they have skill coaches, development coaches. They each individual player has a mental skills coach, an agent, family members talking to them. So there's a lot of going on with these different players. And, you know, it's not just a situation where coaches sit down, talk to their player, go there. They want to know why. They want to know how it fits into the whole group of things. So, you know, I think you see players in the summer, you know, 20, 30 years ago, guys just started working on it. Like, they're now working on their game every day, and they're looking for information and knowledge to improve themselves, and that's what they're looking for from the coaching staff too.
This story is still relatively young. I mean, we'll see what sorts of twists and turns it takes. I'm wondering, as you're talking and replying to Mike's question there, if it's the sort of thing that has the potential to have you go through your organization and, like, ask all of the people that are working for you, like, is there anything I need to know that might have happened when you were in Peoria or in wherever, like, that could, like, pop up, like, so you can be ready for something if it should come?
Well, look, we feel we do a very good job with that before we bring people into our organization. We hope that it's not as if, hey, we sit down and talk to them and, hey, we're offering you a job and bring in. We feel we do a lot from a background check and making sure that the people that we're bringing in to interact with our players, to interact with our employees, certainly have a high standard. Now, hey, can we continue to improve on that? Without a doubt. And to how I interact with my coaches, my training staff, how I interact with people within my office, you always have to look and reevaluate the situation.
I just learned today that Bulldog wears a robe. Can you believe that? Do men wear robes now? That's a thing?
I don't know why this is so out of the ordinary.
Is it Bulldog?
Boxers wear robes all the time.
Boxers, that's right.
And they're some of the toughest people on the planet.
That's where it belongs.
Definitely
boxing.
Not a boxer. No.
After the shower, he puts on a robe.
I don't have any boxing.
And I really don't know. Like, is that something people do? I mean, other than Bulldog? Have you ever heard of that? Do you wear a robe?
I'm so glad you asked Jason this. I can tell he is, too.
Well, he would have listened earlier when we were talking about it, so he already knows. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, guys. You take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.